Welcome to the presentation of the results of the year closed as at the 28th of September. Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti Monterastelli will take the floor. Mr. Italo Valenti will also speak. All the participants, all the people in attendance are only in the hear-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the conference call. If you want to request the floor, please type star followed by zero. Mr. Nicosanti is now going to take the floor. Good evening to you all. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to present the data of the fiscal year closed as at the end of February 2017 of the UniEuro company after the public listing, a very important time in our history. The year that has just come to an end was very important with extraordinary results, with a particularly high growth and EBITDA results that were particularly relevant. We will be looking at the figures in a moment. And there was a record turnover at 1.66 billion, which is making us the second largest consumer electronics company in Italy. Now, we also cancelled the debt of the company, and that's another very positive piece of news. The very significant data are the overperformance compared to the market against the growth of the country as a whole, which is set at 2%. We grew by 5.5%. The boom of online sales was considerable, particularly for the large appliances, with plus 79%, and that was obtained thanks to a new strategy, new product mix, new user appearance of our digital platform and a new app. We dealt with our strengthening lines, both organic and non-organic, with the development of stores that we own. We had a number of new openings, refurbishments and relocations, and also the online enhancement, as well as an offline enhancement. We announced the acquisition of Monclick. That was one of the most important platforms in Italy. And also we announced the acquisition of Andreoli, a Euronics affiliate. We have developed a new CRM in support of customer insight and store digitalization through Wi-Fi and Facebook projects for individual stores. We went through a very important period in our history with a successful listing of the company at the STAR segment at the Milan Stock Exchange, and we proposed a dividend per share of more than 1 euro, so corresponding to a 9.1% yield on the IPO price. Let's look at the market scenario. Well, the market scenario in our last fiscal year grew by 2% overall, driven by the online with a two-digit growth. There was a big growth, a 12% growth in the online market in Italy. UniEuro's performance is 3.5 points better than the market on both channels. It's a sustained growth that shows that our company has a successful omni-channel strategy that will probably lead us to more market share in the future in Italy. Also, if you look at the big categories, at the breakdown into categories, you see our overperformance, particularly on the white goods market, and that is in line with our goal of getting more market share. UniEuro is already a market leader when it comes to white goods, and we wanted to reaffirm that leadership because white goods is a sector that performs very well when it comes to profitability. the online data particularly good because it drives whites to to almost 79% growth. There's a strategic vision that has driven us in the attainment of this extraordinary result, and also we'll be looking at the all the touch points for our company. Now, if you go to page 6, we'll be looking at the strategy of our company, which is to continue profitable growth in the categories that are benefited by the market, large appliances, small appliances, and telecom equipment, placing the customer always at the center, and using all the opportunities offered by the omnichannel. Proximity, customer experience, and retail mix are the drivers. You see the offline, online, and omni-channel touch point on the left-hand side, where you see all the principal converge. Offline means covering unattended areas and developing proximity stores, so covering uncovered areas. We expect a larger number of stores in Italy than the current number. The acquisition of the Andreoli stores goes in that direction. In terms of experience, we'd like to keep the attractiveness of our stores high, and also we'd like to keep our diversity in terms of distribution formats. That also testifies to the massive investments that we undertake in order to refurbish our stores so that consumers can spend their time in an enjoyable way in our stores, finding the right product and buying products that are relevant to them with some support from the sales force. When it comes to the online share of our market, proximity means integration into the digital ecosystem. Experience corresponds to a maximum website usability. And the new website that was launched at the end of last year has become a lot more usable when went on a mobile phone version, when it was also usable on mobile. So we decided to go for that approach. Now, the retail mix is an essential concept because it is associated with the need to expand the range and to grow in sectors with high margins. When it comes to the omni channel, proximity translates into the growth in the number of touch points in the Italian market. So there's a 50% pickup points. The customer insight is still important. Our key enablers are brand equity, supply chain, and our proven and successful partnership with our key suppliers. On page 7. Now, page 8. Again, we are talking about proximity here. Offline, we're going to reinforce our coverage of the national territory. We have 460 stores, of which 180 are direct. We'll be adding to this in the next few weeks the new stores that we took over from Andreoli, increasing our coverage in the central part of Italy, particularly Latium, Abruzzi, and Molise. We opened last year a number of new stores, including Rome Fiumicino and Turin Porta Nuova in the travel field. And we've also opened, through our affiliates, another 22 in total in 2017. Online, integration in the digital ecosystem of the devices using all the channels, including comparative sites and all the other technologies. We've changed completely our communication strategy in this channel, using a new tone of voice and finding an original way to express our engagement towards our users. We've also run a number of campaigns, that of the Black Friday, that have reached in total over 20 million Italians, including the Human in Technology campaign. We were chosen in Italy for the Drive to Store project in partnership with Google. We have redefined our social media strategy with the 400K reactions, four times that of competitors. And in terms of external growth, we have acquired Monclick, which demonstrates our focus on this area. When it comes to the omni-channel, well, that means that translates into the growth of the store network and also of our network of affiliates. We have the largest pickup point network in Italy, 381 pickup points, plus 38% year on year. On top of this higher number of pickup points, what's very important to us is that our customers who decided to buy online and to pick up our products at our points of sale at our stores, we send them into the store with the opportunity to do cross-selling, upselling in terms of products, additional products and services and whatnot. Next page. Now, talking about experience, as we said, as we've said previously, offline, we needed to keep the attractiveness of our stores with 12 million invested in refurbishments and relocations that testify to our commitment to keep our stores attractive. The new store should be possibly smaller, but with areas where the consumers have a chance to touch the product and can compare products to then leverage the knowledge of our sales staff. We are the company that invests the highest money in terms of training, with our over 3,500 people in our stores, and that makes it possible to provide more information to our consumers who are already better informed as they walk in. So that makes puts them in position to entertain better relations with the consumers and be more informational. Now, the online should ensure maximum website usability through a complete overhaul and restyling of the website, and also thanks to the new app. With the activities that we've carried out, we've had in the course of 2017 a number of website visits exceeding 64 million. In November alone, we've launched, only in November have we launched the new app, which was downloaded by 227,000 customers, reinforcing our activities in this sales channel. The omni-channel is the enhancement of the customer insight in order to maximize engagement opportunities, frequency, average ticket, and margins, with the construction of a new CRM that should leverage the over 6.4 million Italians who are already holders of our loyalty cards, and creating a true golden record with the implementation of our project, a voice of customer called Voice of Customer, and the store digitalization with proximity marketing activities. We've created something for each store to be able to talk to the consumer.
Let's move on to page 10. So the retail mix, the differentiation of the product range by store format to maintain, to provide each client with the appropriate format for the territory in which they live. In our stores, we have different formats. We have travel channels in airports and railway stations, and these stores provide important sales. They also provide visibility for the brand. We are in Malpensa, Linate, Orialserro, and in Turin, Portanova. There are many, many travelers that go through those stations and airports, and that gives visibility to our brand. So the same ability of having been able to differentiate the range enables us to enhance our position when it comes in the way we occupy the territory in a different way. In 180 stores, we have different formats right now. Some have 700, 800 square meters, and others a few thousands, some with sales of tens of millions and others hundreds of thousands. So we've been able to make both and all formats profitable, and this is important to occupy those territories which potentially can't provide huge numbers of clients, such as in Milan, Rome, and so on. But even in smaller towns and medium-sized towns, with profitable models, even with lower revenues, are important for us. As for online, we are expanding the online offering range. Physical shops have limits. Online, there is no limit. We have extended our proposition in different sectors, SKUs, for instance, and we have increased sales in all the categories, all SKUs, but especially for white goods and brown goods, brown for more than 35%, and in white goods, more than 79%. And then services to clients and business offerings. We have to improve categories favoring the market trends with greater margins, customized propositions, and the extension of warranties. 90% of our clients are happy with the warranty extensions that we provide. We have protection plans for customers related also to policies that we have with the telecoms. All this supported, as I said, by a supply chain and a centralized logistics in Piacenza, which next year will be doubled, and currently it's 50,000 square meters. It will reach more than 100,000 square meters. This means that our logistics has to serve industry and also the clients and all our touch points, our shops, stores, affiliates, and each client that buys online can have the products delivered to their homes. The brand equity, we have grown as top of mind, and we have consolidated by plus one. We have consolidated our slogan, Batte Forte Sempre, and we have a strong partnership with suppliers. We have now become the client to launch novelties on the Italian market. And for the first time after a few years, we now have become leaders in this. We are the first to launch certain products. We've been very successful last year in launching the new Samsung washing machines, the LG product OLED. We are number one in these sectors. And Samsung S7 last year became a leader in the first few months of launching the product. And this strengthened our image also vis-a-vis our suppliers. On page 13, we see the sales breakdown. As you can see, the situation is having sold for more than 1.6 billion. You see the channels. I'm not going to mention them one by one. What is important for us is the growth rates of all the channels. The positive thing is that each channel have grown more than 10%, as you can see. And for the single categories, we have grown, despite the market has not grown on all those categories, we have grown by 4.9% in grey, white 4.3%, brown 2.9%, services 7.1%, with an overall growth for the company. Acquisitions, we announced them earlier, and we just closed the negotiations, and we'll be closing it in the next few weeks. The negotiations with the Andreoli chain, they were working with Euronix in Lazio, Abruzzo and Molise, central Italian regions. The acquisition cost 12 million, and the shops are usually acquired without goods, and we are ready to launch these new stores with a typical launch of ours. And the sales we expect from this acquisition is of more than 100 million, and we should begin to have profits in the next 12, 18 months. The acquisition of Monclick, one of the major online operators, very powerful on the B2C. This is a new channel which is added to our propositions, and it will be closed in the early days of June. This is a company that has 100 million in revenues, 10 million is the cost of the acquisition, very low compared to the multiple that you can work out for yourself. Let me now call the CFO to take the microphone to discuss the finance details, the financials. Let's now consider our key financials. Let's start from sales. The growth was of plus 6.6%, 3.3% growth like for like. Each channel and each category of product contributed to this growth. And the adjusted EBITDA, it closed at 65.4, growing 10.6% compared to the previous year. And the margin grew by 3.8% to 3.9%. And as we shall see in the following slides, we have the explanation of the main reasons of this increase. The adjusted net income grew by 41.3% from 25.3.7 to 36.3. And the net income margin went from 1.7 to 2.2. The net financial debt is at zero, minus 2 million euros, compared to 25.9 at the end of 2016. With zero leverage, basically. The adjusted levered cash flow grew by 39.7 compared to 33.3 in 2016. And it grew, therefore, by 19.1%, thanks to the careful management of the working capital and lower taxes. The net working capital improved as well, 22 million euros in 2017. In the previous year, growth was 18 million euros. In the following page, page 19, we see the main operational key data. The number points of sales are stable, 181 from 180, two new openings and one closing, and the affiliates from 280 to 283. There was a rationalization process which led to this, and there were 20 new openings and 23 closings. The pickup points increase overall compared to the previous year by 38%, and now a total of 381 pickup points. As for the footprint and sales per footprint or per square meter, from 283,000 to 276,000, with a drop which is in line with our strategy. We're focused on smaller stores. And then the sales density has grown as well, thanks to the spreading of best practices in all stores, and also in an increase in the click and collect, which led to this. Loyalty card holders, they have grown also by plus 14%, from 5.6 to 6.4 million. Stable, the workforce, 3,395, up from 3,389, despite a greater percentage in sales. On page 20, we see how the results have improved. Adjusted EBITDA, you can see the figures here. And the gross profit has improved. Rents have been negotiated, and we now have better profits of 2.1, and then personnel, 3. million, thanks to reorganizations in the structures, and marketing costs to support sales and all our activities have grown by 2.8 million, and also co-marketing activities have led to this, so we had contributions in this from suppliers. Logistics has grown by 2.2 million euros, in line with the sales trend. The percentage over sales has remained constant at around 2%. The other costs have dropped by 1.4 million. And going from 3 to 2.7%. And the adjusted net income, you see here the figures, 6.2 million come from EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA, less depreciation and amortization by 0.8 million euros due to write-offs of investments into the stores. And then the net interest improved by 1 million euro thanks to the financial management, and thanks to the reimbursement in part of the shareholder loan, which occurred in the month of November last year. And then taxes improved by 3.8 million. This is the impact that we begin to see, significant impact of the use of the NOLs, in other words, previous net operational losses, which are being amortized for tax purposes now. And therefore, we have also the impact, the fiscal impact of non-recurring items. And then at page 22, the net financial position. Interest were paid for 5 million. We didn't pay any taxes. CapEx, 27. So we allocated and funded important investments for 27.9 million. And we paid dividends for 3.9 million. So we see that the EBITDA reported of 31.1 million and the change in net working capital of 22.3 have enabled us to finance important investments and have contributed to the reduction of the net financial position. On page 22, we see the figures for trade working capital, 29.8 compared to 33.6 in 2016. And then we have the warranties contribution, and the total net working capital goes from minus 127.4 to 149.7. And then the adjusted, we see adjusted. We see the adjusted levered free cash flow. The net financial position at 24 and then we have the non-recurring items in the P&L for 17.6 and the fiscal impact is 1.1 minus 1.1, and this leads to the free cash flow, the adjusted levered free cash flow of 39.7. These figures, therefore, confirm that UniEuro is the only consolidator, only channel consolidator on the Italian market. We are growing organically and with acquisition. The acquisition of Monclick for online and Andreoli, as we said earlier, strengthen this position of ours. And the results that we obtained in this past year with a growth of 5.5% higher than the market trend confirms our competitive advantage on the market, and it is related to consolidating the integration of the various sales channels. We always thought that the new channels have to become and be opportunities to take advantage of, and therefore can strengthen our position on the market and therefore present our strategy vis-a-vis the consumers. Customer centricism is key for us. We can't build a customer relationship without listening to the customer needs. So the whole process and the improvement of the relations with customers, from touch points to extending the channels and strengthening the channels, the current ones, and those that we have in our own stores and with our affiliates, and also the new ones with UniEuro Point IT and Monoclick IT will consolidate our relationship with consumers. We believe that this is what differentiates us and will differentiate us on the Italian market in the coming years. No other competitor is going in this direction. We're the only company that is consolidating, and the results of this year and in the previous year strengthen this goal of ours, and this will continue to contribute to our extraordinary results, which we just illustrated, with a constant generation of cash flow and a tax saving that we shall have in the future as well, zeroing of the debt, which we achieved this year, and we shall confirm the dividend policy, which accounts to 50% of the adjusted income. Thank you very much. Let's now open to the Q&A. Let's open up for Q&A. Thank you.
We're opening the Q&A session now. If you want to ask a question, please type, please enter star plus one on your phone. To leave the list, type star or asterisk and two. Ask your questions using your telephone set. Please, if you'd like to ask a question, please type star one. First question from Nicolo Storer, Mediobanca. Good afternoon to you all, and thank you for accepting my question. It's actually three questions, not one. My first question is, now, the good revenues that you recorded on B2B, do you think that that can be that performance can be repeated again in the years to come? Also, thinking of the volatility of your business, wouldn't it be more cautious to expect more modest figures ahead, going ahead? also thinking of the revenue escalations that have been recorded in the past 3 years by this channel. Second question, can you help us understand, and I'm referring to slide number 32, where there's a breakdown of non-recurrent costs, the call option agreement, the IPO, and so forth. What line of the P&L are these in? I mean, the exceptional costs in slide 32, where are they represented in the P&L? Where's the reference? So where's slide 32 as part of slide 28? And one last question, can you please give us an update after the early 2017 results? How much is your tax loss carry forward amount? Last year, if I'm not mistaken, it was 418 million. Okay, I'll take the question on the B2B channel. The B2B channel, as we've kept saying every time that we present our financial statements, is a channel that cannot allow us to say that in the next few years we expect to keep our progress rate. But let me say that it accounts for 6% of our total sales, so it's absolutely not irrelevant. And also, it's a channel that allows us to make an important amount in terms of sales with very little activities behind that. Now, I think we're pretty much in line with the budget that we had set for this activity. I can't say more. Now, for the rest of the answers, I'll call on the person near me. Now, for 2017, the adjustments are distributed in this way. Approximately 11 million are gross profit. The cost for 0.8, marketing cost for 3 million euros, logistics cost is nothing. There is nothing to the reported data. Other costs, and that's the biggest chunk, it's 10 million euros. Personnel costs, 4.7 million euros. Then in the other operating costs, there is a negative 2.3 million. And the summation of these are the adjustments represented in the slide. And it's something that you can also see on a different slide. Let me look up. What was your other question? Oh, yes, the taxes.
Tax rate.
The tax rate. Overall, well, that gives us a figure of over 400 million euros. So that means a possible saving of 5 million euros approximately. Okay, can you clarify something else for me? Now, on the breakdown of extraordinary costs that you've just been discussing, now, if I add them up, it's a lot more than 17.6. So could we have a breakdown net of warranties? Net of warranties. Plus almost 10, so it's 27. So the guarantees are in the gross profit. Yes, absolutely. So 27 are non-recurring and warranties, both. So most of the non-recurring is in the other item, right? Yes, in terms of size, yes, it's the most relevant chunk of it. The next question is from Pradeep Prati of Credit SIP.
Oh, hello there. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Three questions from me. First one is, can you explain the, I think you've changed the definition of like-for-like. The 3.3 like-for-like is not on the same definition as the number you gave for the first 9 months, I think, which is 5.9%. If you could clarify that and maybe perhaps give the equivalent figure on the old definition or the old number on the new definition. The second question is on CapEx. I think the CapEx for FY17 was probably slightly higher than what you've mentioned before. What should be the ongoing level of CapEx excluding M&A? I think in the past you've said it's around 23 million. Is that the number that we should look at? And for the current year, how should we think about non-recurring items and extended warranties adjustments?
Let's begin with your second question on CapEx. The investments that we feel are appropriate for our business would be of around 25 million euros. And then, of course, it can be anywhere between 23 and 27 million euros. It all depends on you know, the situation. As far as the development in terms of the adjustments in terms of non-recurring costs and extended warranties, well, as you know, when it comes to warranties, the adjustments can only be down. I mean, constantly going to zero, a few million in 2000 and zero in 2020. So next year there will be anyway an important reduction of that amount. As for the non-recurrent costs, what's going to remain in the financial statements is the million and a half, perhaps 2 million, that are associated exclusively with new openings, and while we consider the sites that are closed as non-recurrent costs, so the closing costs, and that too will be reduced significantly. Of course, here we're talking about non-recurring items in an organic situation. With the acquisitions that we have announced and that will bring to bear in the weeks to come, we are going to generate over the year other non-recurring items for refurbishments, openings, and closings. So on top of what I mentioned before, we'll have to add these amounts. As for the like-for-like figures, if I got your objection well, you make it sound as if it were a different criterion, but it's not, actually. It's simply a reduction of growth on the progressive figures, because the like-for-like growth of the last quarter was lower than that of the first 9 months of the year. It's not a change in the calculation method. It's a drop in terms of performance. Just keep in mind that the performance of the first 9 months did not factor in the month of November, which is particularly meaningful to us in our business. Also, with the success that we had with the Black Friday project.
Are there any further questions? Let me remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you have to press asterisk plus one. We have Mr. Ronsa from Bancaletti. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. We're still trying to learn your equity story. Going back to page 32 of the adjustments on non-recurrent items, can you please tell us if the extended warranties refer to future to products you've just sold or to past products that have gone into maturity? Could you better explain the difference in this explanation? The margins that come from the past, because let's take a look at the accounting of the warranties. If today I sell 100 in terms of warranty, I immediately have an accrual and I move them forward to zero in the P&L this year. I don't see margins or revenues or costs. And then the revenues occur after third, fourth, fifth, or sixth year, depending on how long the warranty extension is. So I bring forward the revenues and subsequently the margins as well. Now, this would not be a problem if I were to receive in this year's P&L the revenues that I used to have in the past. Today, I'm moving forward, carrying forward the warranties I sell today. I should also receive the warranties from the past. But this is not the case, because in the past, especially before 2012, this activity, the warranties extension, was outsourced. And therefore, because it was outsourced, this accounting principle was not the same, and therefore the margins were put aside. And so in the P&L of this year, what I am missing is that portion of the previous warranties, and so I would not represent the business correctly if I didn't take this into account. If I didn't make this adjustment, to make it clear, you would find minus 10 million this year, minus 7 million next year, and then in the year in which we start begin receiving the revenues, we would have a leap in the results, and at that point it would be unexplainable. It would not be related to the specific performance of that year, and that's 3 years down the road or 4 years down the road. So this is a normalization in order to make more clear the evolution of the management results of these warranties. Thank you very much. That's clear. In a previous question, you mentioned losses, previous losses for 100 million. Did I understand correctly? Well, yes, the amount, the overall amount of previous losses is 100 million euros. This enables, 400 million, and this means saving in terms of taxes by 100 million. By the way, they are evergreen. It means they will never expire, and therefore we will be able to claim these tax. They will be able to claim this in taxes in the years this year and the following years. I have two questions. The first question is, could you make a comment on the competitive setting for the online channel and for the brick-and-mortar channel as well, in order to understand the dynamics of the main competitors? And the second question I have concerns the one-off that you explained earlier, and I'd like to better understand, considering that this has an impact on pre-taxes. Could you repeat what you were saying earlier about the stores platform, and could you tell us, give us a rough idea for this year, give us a value for these one-offs that we could project in the years to come? We're talking about refurbishments here. As for the competition setting, well, we are becoming more and more convinced that the Italian market is consolidating fast. As we have always said, if the first three players in Italy currently account for 59% of the market, the European average is 79%, so the 20% difference between us and the European market could be bridged in less time than we had envisaged before. There are many competitors today which find it difficult to remain on a market which is a market that has changed the setting. Consumers now have access to information which is totally different to what they had even just a few months ago. I'm not even saying that this was the case years ago, but even just in a few months, things have changed. So competitors that are trying to undertake a digital transformation, which doesn't mean just have a website online, but it means integrating the different channels, we expect that the difficulties for these competitors will only increase. Media World, which is a market leader today, it has closed five stores over the past 2 years, and we have acquired three of those with sales, and even though we have sales less than theirs, we have now made them profitable, and this strengthens our conviction and our ability to be able to make the different formats of our stores and make them profitable. This is very important because Italy is a long and narrow country, and it provides opportunities for an industry such as ours, which can really be present on the territory with different formats, because there are different needs in the different regions of Italy. We have stores, we have some stores that have sales for a few million a year, others for tens of millions. This means that we're not enslaved by one single format. We can be present on the territory in a diversified way, and this is very important for us. And on top of that, we have an omni-channel strategy. I can say here that we are among the few, if not the only ones, to go in this direction today, and I believe that even the recent announcements for acquisitions at relatively good costs confirm this and give Unieuro the leadership as the only aggregating player on the Italian market. And this for both offline, brick-and-mortar stores. Proximity is a distinction of our company. We occupy the territory with self-owned shops and stores, and 20 new stores after the Andreoli acquisition. And then we have Monclick on the online channel. We were the first, and now are still the only example of a traditional player that buys an online player, and our goal now is to become even online, with the exclusion of Amazon, of course, which is a different kettle of fish. We can become leaders not only in the traditional market, brick-and-mortar market, but also on the online market and channel. As for the non-recurrent items, adjustments, and the warranties, I mentioned this and I explained this earlier. We explained this earlier. Let me explain it again. If you consider slide 32 of the presentation, here you can clearly understand what the situation is and the evolution of these non-recurring items for this year and the next year. The IPO costs were 6.1. And those were just one-off. And then call options agreement, 3.8 million. Here again, it was one-off. Stores opening, refurbishments, and closing costs. Of course, these will recur as costs. The figure might be less than the 3.3 now. It could go from 1 to 2 million in the future. There was one damage in one store for 1 million, and that was a one-off cost, by the way. And then websites relaunch, 1 million euro, and other 2.2. Now, that is the breakdown. Now, of course, in terms of what is foreseeable, if you look at these various categories, you think of costs of opening and closing of stores. That's what draws most attention. These are related to extraordinary events, and therefore they will be verified in course of the year. The 10 million that we see of adjustments in 2017 for extended warranties, those will drop and they will become zero in 2020. No, I was mainly referring to the costs related to the non-warranties. As for openings and the rate of openings, what are your expectations for this year? Net openings with a trend similar to this year's, closing and openings that become net, that net each other, or do you expect additions? We expect additions, yes, compared to what happened last year. We expect to grow. This month we shall open a new store, and other openings are envisaged for the rest of this year. We are assessing the territory, and therefore we take opportunities, we see our presence, we see the potentials and opportunities, and when we get an opportunity to open a new store, and we believe that it is an opportunity that can generate profits, we go ahead and assess it and then put it in our budget, and we do the opening. Add to all this, of course, that in the coming weeks and months, openings of the Andreoli acquisition, 21 stores. So we're engaged for a few months to come in doing those. But 3 years ago, we demonstrated when we acquired Uniero, we demonstrated that we were able to acquire 90 stores, and we were able to complete them and refurbish them in 4 months, and they became profitable. 21 points of sale today don't frighten us. And we don't believe that it's going to stop our organic growth either. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very clear. Thank you.
Again, if you wish to ask questions, you can dial star and one on your phone. For further questions, please enter star and one on your phone. The next question is a follow-up by the representative of Credit Suisse.
Oh, hi there. This is Pradeep. A couple of follow-up questions. On both the acquisitions, the Montclic and the Andreoli, how should we think about profitability build this year and over the next couple of years? Do you expect break-even at the EBITDA level this year? That's the first question. And in terms of when do you expect them to consolidate? I think you mentioned June. Is that for Andreoli or is that for both Montclic and Andreoli? The second question, maybe if you could give us some commentary on how you think gross margins and OPEX will evolve. Gross margins, I think, were down slightly on product mix. Is that trend something that you foresee? And finally, on refurbs, I think you did 40 refurbs last year. Is that the same number that we should expect this year? Thank you.
I'll take your last question first because it's the easiest. So the number of refurbishments will be slightly lower. Also because in the past couple of years, after the acquisition of UniEuro with over 90 stores, we've had to invest some extra money to be able to refurbish the entire UniEuro network to our standards. So the past couple of years have been years where we must have spent more than what we expect to spend this year. When it comes to Andreoli and Moncler, when I mentioned June, I meant that June would be the date of the closing for Moncler. We've just had the go-ahead from the antitrust authority, and so we're now free to proceed. And so we will be closing in the early weeks in June. When in terms of the Andreoli acquisition, we are waiting for the procedure. It was on a controlled administration, so bankruptcy, and so we are waiting for the dates of the entire procedure, the final steps of the entire procedure to set a date. As for the objective of being profitable on our acquisitions, we talk about whole years. So if we close in June, we expect to use the 12 to 18 months in our plan from the time of the closing to restore a healthy situation. Could you please rephrase your question on the gross margin and OPEX?
Sure. Gross margins, I think this year are slightly lower than last year. I think if you combine purchase of goods and change in inventory together, is that the trend that we should expect in FY18 too? Given some of it is probably related to product mix.
Well, to begin with, I'd like to say this. The overall EBITDA margin grew by 3.9%, or went up to 3.9%. It is true that the gross margin went down during the fiscal year, but this decrease was associated to the mix of the distribution channel and also the product categories mix. Now, considering this position on the gross margin and also thinking of the EBITDA, when it comes to fixed costs, there has been a significant reduction or containment of their influence on the overall sales. Now, if you consider the fixed costs, for instance, the rent, they went down by 2 million euros over the year. Personnel costs in terms of relevance or proportion of the sales, it went down to 8.3% to 7.9% from between last year and the year that we've just closed. The margins were stable, 2.9% of our marginal costs, 2.9%. Logistics costs, well, they're pretty high, but stable, and so we needed to consider the costs associated with the increase in the activity volume. So the proportion, as a proportion of sales, it has remained a constant figure. And also there have been improvements in absolute value and then as a percentage going from 3% to 2%. So there have been some optimizations in the management of the fixed costs that made it possible to more than compensate and to respond to a decrease in the gross margin as a percentage, which is associated with the reasons we have provided. We're not going to give disclosures on the year the current year. We will not be providing data on the trends in terms of margins for the current year.
Thank you.
If you'd like to ask more questions, please enter star and one. The next question is a follow-up from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Letti. Well, yes, it's just a detail, if I can use some of your time. The taxes that you've included in your profits and losses, 2.7 million, is that cash or is that just figurative? Is it just nominal? Is it taxes that you have to pay anyway? Well, the profits and losses, well, it's fixed. If you look at the cash or a cash flow, well, the total taxes paid for the year is equal to zero. Yes, you're right. I had missed that piece of information. Next question from Giovanni Ovi of Kepner Cheuvreux. Yes, good afternoon. Just a detail. I can't find the figure for the sellout in terms of revenues. Could we have the sellout number? Since it was available also during the analysis presentation, or don't you do any more disclosures of that kind? Sorry, I didn't really understand your question, because you were talking about sellout in connection with what? Well, the sellout including the wholesale value. In 2016, it was around 1.77 billion. No, no way. Last year, the total sellout was 1.557. The total sellout this year is 166. And that also includes... but I also meant the sales of your affiliates. Well, yes, this is what we sell to our affiliates. Well, that's clear to me. But does that also include what the affiliates sell outside? Well, with our affiliates, we are on an exclusive contract basis, and then many of our affiliates also sell our other products on top of our range, and so we have no idea of what they sell their stores other than what is in agreement with us, is on an agreement, is included in their agreement with us. Now, if I consider the average margin that they report and are selling with them, approximately 220, perhaps more, million, and add 15%, which is the what would they add on top, well, that's the figure. Mr. Nico Santi, for the time being, we see no other questions. Very well. If there are no other questions, then let me thank everyone. Have a nice evening, and thank you for being with us.